You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso. Good morning. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Focus on Campus, and joining us today is Dr. Ezra Capel from the Jewish American Studies program here on campus, and also a special guest, Natalie S. Harnett. She is the author of The Hollow Ground, and she recently was here at UTEP speaking at the Bloomberg Auditorium, and we have the pleasure to visit with Natalie, and we'll talk a little bit about her book in just a minute. Natalie and Ezra, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thanks for having us,
yeah.
Let's start with you, Ezra, as far as this program and you bringing in Natalie. Is it part of a special series or something?
It is. For our centennial year here at UTEP, we got a grant from the Jewish Federation of El Paso, and we've been bringing in a lot of different artists and writers and cultural figures. And Natalie Harnett really is an interesting event for us because many of our guests have been sort of what might be thought of as being traditionally in the mold of what we would think of as members of the Jewish community. But more recently, there was this tremendous study done called the Pew Study, which looked at, was one of the biggest studies ever done of the Jewish community in America. And what they discovered is that many Americans who come from different backgrounds but might have, let's say, one parent or one grandparent who may have been Jewish are electing to explore their ethnicity and really develop that and maybe even raise their children to be very aware of that tradition and carry on that legacy in that way. And so Natalie Harnett, in addition to being an incredible writer, and we're just so proud of her first novel here, The Hollow Ground, she herself has a background that is, I think, of real interest to our community here.
Well, what a great introduction and a segue there for Natalie. Natalie, tell us about that.
Well, I have, I guess, a bit of an unusual experience in that I'm adopted, and I was adopted into a German-American family, and my father was actually a German war refugee. And all I knew about my biological background was that I was Slavic. That's all I knew. And when I was 18 years old, I was really driven to, you know, want to find out more. But I was adopted in what's called a closed record adoption, which means that you're not allowed to be given any information than what was originally written on this sort of record. And all that was on that record was that I was had a Slavic background. And it took me 8 years to find my biological parents. And when I did, I found out that my mother was a Polish immigrant and that my father was Jewish and that he was the child of Polish Jewish immigrants. And he was even actually born in 1917. I was born in 1971, so, you know, he's much older when he had me. And he was a World War II vet. These were all such surprising things to me. I never had any idea that I was half Jewish.
Now, tell us a little bit about your biological parents. Did they know who your adoptive parents were?
No, with a closed record adoption, they don't know either. But what was really quite unusual with the way I did find my birth mother, she actually lived only two blocks from where I lived. And I had contacted her the year before I actually discovered. I had finally hired a detective, and that's how I was able to find her. But before that, I had actually contacted her because I was eventually able to find out what my last name was just through doing research. And I just saw that there was this woman with that same last name. My mother actually saw her name in our church bulletin and pointed at it, my adoptive mother, and pointed at that name and said, "That's your birth mother. Contact her." And I did. And she said, you know, she didn't know what I was talking about. And then a whole year went by, and I hired the detective who found within probably a day who she was and gave me the name. And then I knew it was this woman who was living two blocks from me, but it actually already said she didn't know who I was. So it was really quite a journey then getting her to finally acknowledge that she was my birth mother.
And what kind of relationship do you have now?
She actually moved back to Poland, believe it or not. And that's financially, it was actually a very good move for her at the time. I try and call her several times a year. You know, I write her. I send her pictures. I have a three-year-old. I send her pictures of my child. You know, so it was a nice enough relationship, but it was certainly, you know, a difficult one to establish.
And how did your mother, of course, mm-hmm. your adoptive mother, encouraged you? What about your father?
It was very hard on my parents, and I had to. It felt like a life or death issue for me. I just had to find them. I had at least had to just find out what information I could. It was very, very, very frustrating for me to know that this adoption agency knew everything, but wouldn't tell me even just what my biological background was, wouldn't even tell me health information. I didn't even know any medical information on my parents. So that almost made me crazy, honestly.
Now, it's interesting that some people would probably say it's ironic, and of course we don't want to stereotype, mm-hmm. but the fact that you were adopted by a German family yep. and then you have Jewish roots.
Yes. I did have all sorts of issues of German guilt growing up as a child. And it was just really mind-blowing to find out that I was half-Jewish at the age of 26.
Now, tell us a little bit about what you told our students and staff in the mm-hmm. community here at UTEP and about your book, the novel, The Hollow Ground.
The Hollow Ground. Now, this book actually doesn't have a Jewish plot in it. For that event, I read from my current novel that I'm writing right now, which does have a Jewish subplot. But this book is very much focused on Irish Americans and coal mining, and it tells the real story of Centralia and Carbondale, Pennsylvania, which have coal mines that are underground, and those coal mines went on fire and destroyed the towns above them. In Centralia, the fire is still going on. They expect it to go on for hundreds of years. And that is now a ghost town. There's only a handful of people living there. And in Carbondale, they dug the fire out. And what's, to me, the most amazing detail of that dig out is that by the time they'd finished digging it out, they dug out more dirt than they had for the Panama Canal. And so this book tells the story of both of those fires and of that dig out and of this family's struggles, you know, living through that and surviving it.
How difficult was it to do the research for this? Because sometimes when you're writing historical fiction, it's mm-hmm. it's very kind of iffy because it's fiction, but yet it's historical, mm-hmm. so you have to have your facts.
Mm-hmm. I did want to have the facts as accurate as I could for Centralia. Centralia has had some press, and there have been books written about it, so I was able to find out information on Centralia. Carbondale, though, has received so little attention. There's been extremely little written about it, and so that was much harder to get information. And so sometimes I could never get a definite fact, because maybe I was looking up in the Historical Society and it would tell me one thing, and then I'd be looking somewhere else, maybe in an article that I found about it, and it would tell me something else. And so I just have to kind of go with whatever I felt was the most accurate, because there wasn't enough written about it to know exactly what had happened.
And what made you choose the topic of miners?
I have a strong connection to the northeastern Pennsylvania area because my grandfather was from there. So I'd been going there since I was a little kid, even though I grew up in New York. And this town of Carbondale just called to me. It's just a town where you could see that it used to be this booming city. It had beautiful mansions, but you could just feel this loss in it. You know, you just knew now it was an incredibly poor area. Once I was seeing it in the 70s and 80s. And so I just wanted to set something there. And it was as I was doing research that I found out about this unbelievable fire and dig out.
Now, Ezra, as far as like what Natalie was talking about finding her biological parents, you're absolutely right. With all the software they have now, Ancestry.com, people are digging and trying to find out what's going on. In fact, a few months back, Spain ran an article in one of their newspapers about the fact that they were going to give citizenship to
Sephardic Jews.
Yes, Sephardic Jews, yes.
Yeah, I think there's tremendous interest throughout America, certainly, for people to discover their roots. It's an amazing sea change, really, because so many of the immigrants, those who came to America in the great wave of immigration from, let's say, 1880 till immigration was shut off, the 1924 anti-immigration legislation, many of those folks who had come to America were forced to give up their traditions and give up their ethnicities in order to melt into what was thought of as a more American style, which was, of course, a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant idea. And now, three or four generations later, those pressures are no longer there. And so you have the descendants of people from many different backgrounds who are really fascinated by their family histories and would love to reconnect to that and to pass it on to the next generation.
And how did you, I don't want to say stumble, because I'm sure you did a lot of research, but on Natalie and her background and inviting her?
Well, actually, it wasn't much of a stumble. Natalie and I went to college together years ago at Queens College. And so I think the very first English class I ever took was, I think you were in that. Is that right, Natalie?
Yes, that's right.
So I've known Natalie for a very long time. And I'm just so glad that this beautiful novel has come out and is getting such wide acclaim. And we're really lucky that we could bring her here to do a reading. You know, we're one of the first stops on the publicity tour that Natalie is doing for this novel. So we're really lucky. I had sort of the inside track of getting Natalie here for our community here at UTEP in El Paso to be able to learn from her and hear about the writing of this novel and her new novel and actually to have her do a reading from it, which we're really lucky to have that opportunity.
Natalie, as far as your discovery that your biological parents are Jewish, has it been difficult as far as adjusting or changing your spiritual values, faith, anything like that?
It was a very difficult thing at first for me. And, you know, it was sort of like something I was thinking about when I used to look at, let's say, Hebrew writing. And I would see it and it would just be something that looked, you know, very strange to me and that I saw it as something other. And I think that it would be the same as someone looking at Japanese writing who had no connection to Japan or the Japanese people or the Japanese language, and you just see it as something other. And now that's one thing, you know, I look at and I say, oh, that's a part of me. And that's an amazing feeling. And at first, it was very difficult. It was more like something, there was almost a disconnect. I'd say to myself, that's a part of me, but I wouldn't feel it. And it would just feel very kind of uncomfortable and kind of make me anxious. And it's taken me a long time, but now it just feels wonderful. It's just such a sense of peace and contentment and such a rich, wonderful heritage to have. I'm just at this point now can just be happy about it.
And have you found out through your biological parents, did you have other siblings?
I did not. As far as I know, as I'm being told, neither one of them ever had any other children.
And what about your child? Is he old enough to know about mom's background and what's going on?
You know, she's three. And and it's only now that I'm trying to figure out, like, how am I going to really communicate this to her? And her father is actually part Jewish, too. And I actually only just discovered, I thought his mother was only half biologically Jewish. But I found out she sadly just passed away in January. And I found out at her funeral that her mother had converted to Judaism before my mother-in-law was born. And so my mother-in-law was, in fact, Jewish. And my husband is Jewish. And I only just found that out a few months ago. And it's been so crazy, you know, after the funeral and everything and the book tour that I just haven't even had a chance to process that yet. But, you know, it's on my mind and it's how do I communicate all this to my child? I'm not sure yet, but I figure, you know, you just figure it out.
It's kind of like the flip side of the coin, Ezra, because with you, with your grandfather and your family, you were a student of the Talmud and everything else, and so you know it very well.
Yeah, it's really interesting, although, you know, Natalie was talking about her father actually needing to, as an immigrant fleeing Hitler's Germany, and her family, they come from a line of dissenters of Hitler, right? And had they stayed, they would have been persecuted there. It was really Natalie, who was a good friend of mine at Queens College, who first encouraged me to, even though I had been studying about Judaism, but I hadn't really known all that much about my own grandparents' history during the Holocaust. And it was Natalie who urged me to go and interview them and talk with them. And thankfully, I listened to her because I have dozens of hours of tapes with my grandparents and talking about their history and their stories. And if I hadn't done that, a lot of those stories would have been lost.
And I agree with you because I have a book, you know, those yellow books that they have, Hebrew for Dummies or for Idiots,
yes.
Whatever. And so I look at it and I'm going, I can't figure this out. And I would imagine that's the same way a Jewish person or somebody else who looks at Spanish or English is going.
Yes.
So yeah. How difficult was it for you to pick that up?
Well, it's, you know, I've had Ezra as a friend for so long, and so he is really the person who has taught me and shown me so much about Judaism and the Jewish culture. He even helped me to find my Jewish biological father so that if it wasn't for him, I would know so much less. And so that has been a tremendous help.
Natalie, as far as your book goes, do you have a website or do they go to Amazon?
I have. It's natalieharnett.com. So that's NatalieHarnett.com. And I have book club discussion questions, an educator's guide on it, and a lot of information about the book on it.
Okay, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
We've been visiting with Natalie S. Harnett. She is the author of The Hollow Ground, and she was recently a speaker here at UTEP at Bloomberg Auditorium as part of the Inter-American Jewish Program here at the University of Texas at El Paso and the Jewish Federation of El Paso. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having us, Lou.
Folks on Campus is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Focus on Campus. I'm Louis Sines.